You're listening to Two Bloggers, One Podcast, a show featuring two friends who love to talk about their lives as bloggers and everything beauty. I'm one of your hosts, Christine. Let's get started.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Can you hear me this time?
I can hear you this time. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. Well, happy 2017.
No kidding, right?
Oh my gosh. So you can probably still tell a little bit in my voice, and I apologize, but 2017 was the year that I started off being sick.
Yeah, it was the gift at Christmas, so we all got sick, I think.
I think everyone that I've talked to recently has been sick already this year.
Oh yeah. When my family came in, we got sick, and then everybody I talked to was like, oh yeah, everybody in our house is sick. Yep. You know, I'm like, I think it's everybody getting together.
Yeah, I think so, because it was after I had... My mother-in-law was sick, and then my brother and both my brothers were here, my niece and everything. And the day that they left, I crashed so hard, and yeah. I'm still, like, you can still hear it in my voice, like, I'm all congested and everything. So if I'm sneezing and sniffling and all that, I apologize. I'll try not to do much of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll try to mute myself, but I think I still have a little bit of a raspy voice.
Yeah. I don't think you sound bad at all. I tried to, like, load up on lots of water this morning and tea to try to, like, prepare myself for this.
Yeah, I brought some coffee along, which helps everything.
So. Yes, always. So today we are going to kind of go into things we learned last year, and we're going to talk a little bit about our goals. And then at the end of the podcast, we are going to talk about some of our favorite beauty products from 2016.
Yeah.
All right.
I tried to narrow that down, so it's not...
It was really hard. I will be completely honest with you. I really struggled with it.
I did too, yeah. I have quite a few things, but I think I'm just going to pick some random things, so...
Yeah. All right, so do you want to start with something you learned or a goal for this year, or would you like me to?
You can start.
Okay. So I just kind of jotted down some things that I learned in 2016 that I'm going to be applying for goals this year. And the first thing that I have on my list is to quit the number game.
Oh, yeah.
So I know we talked about this on previous podcast, and I know this is something that we have talked about personally, but I myself need to quit being so, like... fascinated, obsessed with my numbers for the blog, because I noticed that it tends to make me just, it makes me feel so down. Like, I can be having the best day. I'll be super excited about my work. And then as soon as I look at my numbers, if they aren't what I want them to be, it totally changes my whole attitude.
Oh yeah. I agree with that for sure.
And I think it goes back to, like, when we first started blogging, like, we were really excited to look at our numbers, at least I was, but I didn't have that, like, main focus on it, though. I just blogged because I wanted to. I blogged because I enjoyed it. It was something new. I didn't, you know, freak out if when I looked at my analytics, it wasn't exactly at the point where I wanted it to be.
Yeah, and I think with, you said a key word is, when we started, it was new, and yeah. Now there's so many bloggers, so it's in your face.
So many. It's everywhere. It is such an oversaturated thing to do now. I feel like everyone has a blog. So it kind of comes to the point where you really have to do it because you love it, and you can't fall victim, you know, in the trap of things like worrying about your numbers and all that. Well, it is important. I still think you have to have that drive like you did in the very beginning.
Oh, definitely. Because, you know, we've mentioned that we touched on this in a few podcasts, but people who are like, how do you get free product? How do you get free product? Yeah. If you're only doing it for the product, that's a whole other, but when this is your livelihood and this mm-hmm. is your job, it's really hard to, you got to separate those two. You can't do it for free product and also do it for to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So my goal this year is to, obviously, I'm going to keep track of my numbers, but I'm not going to check them daily. I'm not going to see, like, who's on my site right now, like, how many people are on it right now. I'm not going to be so driven to let my work kind of, what am I trying to say? I'm, like, not forming sentences. I don't want my numbers to be in control of me.
Oh, yeah, I know, because it's a terrible way to be, and it sucks all the joy out of the little things that we used to have so much, you know, like, it used to make us so happy. And like you said, you you'll get a product or you're reviewing a product and you're so happy and you're proud of your post. And then, you know, you look and see, okay, well, it didn't get all that. So then it kind of sucks all that joy out of it for you.
It does suck the joy out. And it, I mean, there's nothing worse than when you put your heart and you spend a lot of time on a post and you're so excited about it and it just gets no comments. It gets no interactions. It does suck. I mean, we're not going to lie and tell you that that's a good feeling because it sucks. I mean, that still happens to me to this day. And I think, honestly, if we talk to any blogger, it would be something that happens to everyone at some point.
Oh, definitely. And if it doesn't, God bless them. But
yeah. yeah. So
I think it's something everybody can relate to.
Yeah. So definitely I'm going to scale back on how many times I'm looking at my numbers. I'm probably going to do like once a month, I think, unless it's something that I have to go in there for like a brand or something. And I'm just going to keep track of it, but I'm not going to obsess over it this year.
Yeah. The obsessing is... That's so 2016. We're done with it.
It's so 2016.
So last year.
All right. What is one that you have?
Well, mine kind of goes along with yours because I just wrote down like little ideas. Mm-hmm. And I said like the products, they don't matter.
Yeah.
So it's like getting the newest and the best, you know, like releases, which is what we're kind of focused on because you want to be the first one to bring that because, again, you want the traffic. You want right. the numbers. And we also, because we love products, we want to be able to try it out. And but if 2016 taught me anything is getting all those products don't matter and they don't mean anything if people don't trust you, if your readers don't want to hear it, yep. you know, like, they you know, just the getting the free products is not what it's about. It doesn't, you know, mm-hmm. it's not paying. I can't pay my bills with the newest palette, you know, so it's yep. like. None of that matters. And also, a lot of people who get the newest and the best, they just lie and say it's amazing and it's awesome and you can't trust them anyway. So,
yes.
you know, for me, it's definitely just about building, to continue to build my brand and hopefully people who trust my opinion and they check my blog out because they know that it's I'm keeping it real, you know.
It's hard because, like you said, it is our job to stay on top of, like, new product launches and everything. But if I'm going to be completely honest right now, there are two things that go with that for me. Of course, because I love beauty so much, I want everything that's new. I want it. I want to see what it's like. I want it. And to go along with that, though, also, I guess what I have to sit back and I have to think is, of course, I want it. But there are going to be thousands, if not millions, of other people who are going to be reviewing that same product. So if I don't review that one product, it's not going to hurt my blog. You know, I mean... There, we talked about this, you know, just a couple of minutes ago. There are so many bloggers out there now. And I think that that's where it's difficult for us because we want to bring that information to our readers. And we want them to be able to come to us when there are new launches and everything. But for me, I used to really, like, again, obsess because it's true. I would obsess over getting every single new product. And if I couldn't get that new product, it would kill me.
Yeah, and then you find yourself, like... Something happens, you don't review it right away, or, you know, like, you don't get around to it. And there, as you know, there's 100 other people who post yeah. that review. You went out and you spent $60 on this yeah. palette. There's all these reviews, and now you're just kind of like, well, I don't even want the palette anymore. Like, you just kind of you kind of beat yourself up. It's not fun anymore. And then you spend all this money, and the reviews, the swatches, everything's already out there. So it's just kind of like...
And
you
I know
can't
a lot
be
of
searching for it.
No, I know a lot of bloggers. I will be honest, this is not something that I do myself, but there are a lot of bloggers who will go out and they will buy every single shade. Let's say we're talking about a foundation release. They will go and buy every single shade. They'll get that stuff, the review on their blog, and they'll go and return all of that product. And it's just such a waste.
Oh, absolutely. I've heard of that before.
But. Oh, yeah. And actually, I know of some really, really what I consider big-time bloggers who do it. And I was fascinated when I found that out. I guess for me, I just don't want to feel like if I don't get that eyeshadow palette, my blog isn't going to be relevant. Because, you know, at the end of the day, whether or not you review that one eyeshadow palette, it's not going to make or break you.
No, definitely. Yeah, and that's kind of what I was trying to say. It was like... You just focus on the new, getting the newest thing. Like, everybody's crazy about reviewing that.
There's something new every single hour.
Oh, absolutely. especially now with Instagram, because when we started, Instagram wasn't what it is now.
Not at all.
And no, so it's like, I don't even think I had Instagram for like the first 2 years that I blogged, but now the pictures are on Instagram before you get the product. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's already seen the swatches. They've already seen it on there. So what are you going to do different? And you can want it so bad and you get all this stuff, but it's like, they've already seen it. They've tapped in the hashtag on Instagram and they've already seen it. So
that's,
it's like,
kind of, that's a hard, it's hard because we want to review things. But I know I sent you a message the other day. One of the big time Instagrammers who is famous for releasing news about product releases, you know who I'm talking about. She featured my picture the other day and I sent you a message about it. And it's like, you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. About my trolls palette? Okay. There are people who don't necessarily have blogs, but they are like Instagram only. And their main focus is they let you know of releases like ahead of time, sometimes before even the brands want them to. So they already have the pictures out there. They have swatches out there. They have release dates out there. So that's where it's hard for us because we obviously want to get this information out there quickly for our readers. So it gives them time to A, save up for products because these products are expensive. Not all of them. Some of them are drugstore, but there are some that are more expensive. But really, when I sit down sometimes and I think about it, what's the point when there's all this information already out there already? They've seen all the swatches and everything.
Yeah, and you can go to these specific people because there's several of them.
Yes.
And you can go and, like I said, you can see the swatches and you can see their reviews and you can find out where you can buy it and how much it is.
Yeah.
So why would you take time to find my blog to see the post on it? You know, so that's what my kind of going back to. I just want to review things that I love, products that are, you know, fascinating to me or stuff. If I get, you know, I pay some $65 for a palette and I don't like it, I want to let you know. And hopefully, you know, continue to build that trust with my readers. And so they'll come check me out before they go and believe everything they read on Instagram.
Because
perhaps.
Everyone is going, I mean, for the most part, if you really love beauty and everything, you're going to know who these people are and you're going to see all this information. But I think the thing that sets us apart, and I'm not saying that, you know, they're the people on Instagram, like their opinion doesn't matter, but I hope what sets us apart, and I mean, they have the same thing going for them in a way. I want my readers to be able to trust my opinion. I might not talk about every single brand new product that is released. Like I haven't talked about the makeup sponge that's going around the internet like crazy. Am I curious about it? Yes, but I'm not curious enough about it right now to spend the time to do it because it's already out there everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you can, and there are opinions on both sides.
Yes.
So a lot of times we're trying to find somebody who says what we want them to say.
Yeah.
So you can find somebody for both sides. If you're wanting it, you'll buy it because you wanted to hear somebody say it was worth it. And if you don't want to buy it, you'll find the people who, you know, say it's not worth it and it's not good and it doesn't work. And that's all already out there. So
I want readers to be able to trust, like, I'm talking about this palette for a reason because I either really, really love it and I took the time to personally buy it because, let's be honest, not everything is handed to us for free. I am not one of those bloggers who gets every single thing sent to me for free. I spend a lot of my own money getting these products. Are things sent to me for free from PR brands? Yes, but definitely not everything.
Oh, so, no. We spend a lot of money. I mean, we are VIB Rouge for a reason.
Yeah, that is right. Speaking of VIB Rouge, really quick, I'm going totally off subject, but I actually, mine like renewed again around the holidays because I had a shopping spree at Sephora, but in my defense, it was mostly Christmas gifts for other people, but I got my VIB Rouge renewed when my husband went to Sephora and got the Modern Renaissance palette for me, and they gave me my VIB Rouge gift. Well, he put it in my Christmas gift, and do you know what it was? Have I showed you this yet?
No, you haven't shown me.
It was supposed to have been a NARS palette, which, let's be honest, Sephora needs to work on their rewards.
Mm-hmm.
This might be a topic for another podcast that could be really good, like comparing rewards and our opinions. I need to remember that. I'm gonna write that down. So my reward for, what is it for VIB? How much do you have to spend a year?
I think it's $500, isn't it?
Isn't it more than that?
Oh, I don't know.
I could be wrong.
I thought it was just five.
I could be wrong. I'll look it up. It was a brush and literally it's the size of the palm of my hand.
Oh no.
I mean,
oh, I'm sorry. VIB Rouge is 1,000. VIB
1,000.
Is 500.
Yeah, VIB Rouge is 1,000. For some reason, I thought it was 1,500, but it might be 1,000. That's all that I got for my rewards.
Oh my gosh. Like, it was, I could have bought that on my own and got a bigger present.
It was, I wish I had it in front of me, but I don't, and honestly, I don't even know where I put it. When I opened it up, Rob gave me the palette, that was inside there. He's like, oh, well, I think your VIB Rouge renewed when I bought this for you.
Yeah.
But it was like the chintziest looking brush. And I mean, it's free. I didn't pay for it. But I just feel like if you spend that much money in Sephora, because we're getting back to how much money we spend getting products to review, that brush, like, it was such a slap in the face.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people say about Sephora. So they're just about they're about making the sales and getting the money from you, but to actually, you know, reward you.
And don't get me wrong, I love Sephora. But since Ulta, like, I was never an Ulta girl. My Ulta sucks. Like, the one that's around me is horrible. But they're moving to a new location. They're getting a brand new store, so I'm thinking it's going to be better. Last year was the year I discovered Ulta, finally. Like, I just never really shopped there that much. I never ordered online from them. And I did, and I hit platinum. I think right now it says that I have, like, $40 or something that I can spend at Ulta.
Yeah, because their rewards is awesome.
So much better. So for those of you who are listening and you're not, like, a member of the Ulta Rewards program, sign up for it because you get cash. Like, they reward you with cash to use to shop in their store.
Oh, yeah. And, like, now, I don't know, it's not in store yet, but Ulta Online sells NARS.
Yeah. They are carrying so many more brands than they used to.
Yeah, they have, like, Lancome and NARS and all that. I know in stores some Ultas have Lancome, but mine doesn't.
Mine
but,
does. They have some. Yeah. They also carry Clinique.
They
carry a lot. My store actually did have some NARS in store. It was only a small end cap, and it wasn't very, I think it was like a mascara, and I can't remember what else. They did have some in store, but that's another topic for another time. But my point of all this was, we spend so much money to review these products that I'd have to scale back. Because I told you, as I've been, like, organizing my office and organizing what my husband calls my beauty store within my office.
Yes, uh-huh.
I have way too much stuff. And what'll happen is I'll go and buy these products to review because I want to get them on my website. And then I don't even use them afterwards. Or I'll give them away to someone because I just wanted them to be on my website so I could get my readers my opinion and everything. And I just can't do that as much as I was before because I was buying so much stuff just to get it up there. And it's just, it's unnecessary.
Oh, it is unnecessary. And right before the holidays, probably around like November, I started going through my stuff and I was like, I'm going to declutter before family comes in. And I had four like packing boxes, like the big boxes full of product.
Yeah.
It was like $5,000 worth of stuff. Yeah. And I was just like, get what you want, go through it. Everything else I'm donating, and they're all gone. And I was like, they were like, well, I don't really need this. I'm like, if you need it more than me, take it because I don't want it. Because and I mean, it was like thousands of dollars worth of stuff. And I'm like, most of that I bought. So I'm like, that's a problem.
Yeah. I mean, we're ending up like going and buying things because we feel like we want them. Oh my gosh. I just sent you a thing yesterday about a Benefit blush. I really want this. Oh my gosh. I just told you I wasn't going to buy anything, but I really want this. I'm trying so hard. This is going to go into one of my goals. I'll just go ahead and tie it in as we're talking. I'm really going to try really hard to cut back on the amount that I'm buying, the amount of money I'm spending on useless things.
Yes.
I buy them because I'm so caught up in the moment. Like, you know, you'll go to Sephora or Ulta or something or wherever, and you're like, ooh, that's really pretty. I want that. Oh, I should really review that on my blog. I'm going to get that. I'm going to get that. And then by the time you go to the checkout, you're like $300 in. And you're I came in here for mascara. Like, you know, or nothing. And so this year, I really want to take kind of like a minimalistic approach. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not going to allow myself to buy, you know, some things occasionally. But the amount of things I gave away last year, over and over and over again, and the amount of things I'm still getting rid of, it just shows me how much excess in products that I have. And I don't want to be like a beauty hoarder. As much as I love it, I don't want it sitting around when it's not getting any use. You know, we do get things sent to us for free from brands, and sometimes that means that they send us products that we just don't really use. we might talk about it on the blog. It might not be a good color match or something for us if it's makeup. And then it just ends up sitting around, or you donate it, or you throw it away.
Yeah. And I want to be, my goal for 2017 is to be more mindful of what I spend my money on.
Yes.
And is it useful? Do I need it? Is it a foundation that I'm out of, that I've used? Mm-hmm. Or is it just because I want to try it?
Yeah.
But I have 13 other foundations that I need to be used first.
It's kind of it's a problem almost in a way. Like, it sounds so silly talking about it. And I know there are way worse things that we could be, you know, hoarding and having excess of.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
But I looked, like, yesterday and I sent you a message about this. Like, I probably have 20 foundations on my desk. I probably use maybe 2 or 3 tops. The others are just sitting there because I wanted them. And I mean, I do switch out foundations depending upon season and, like, what my skin is doing. But my biggest thing that I looked that I was like, oh, my gosh, is eyeshadow palettes.
I have three or four
drawers full of eyeshadow palettes, and I pretty much use the same one every day.
Oh, yeah.
So it's... And
because we had to have them.
Yeah. And I really... it's not that I don't love them all, because the ones I have given away so much makeup. I mean, really. I have given away so much skincare and makeup. It's crazy. But now I look back, I'm like, I just gave away all of that, and I still have this much left. Like, this year, I'm going to be different about this. I'm not going to freak out about getting every single product that's out, every single brand new palette that's released. I'm still going to review some of them because, of course, I'm always going to have beauty on my blog, but I'm definitely going to be cutting back because, just like we said before, the reviews are out there if my readers desperately want them, or they can even ask, you know, me a question. Hey, have you tried this? What's your opinion? But I'm not going to stress about getting every single brand new piece of makeup and skincare that's out there.
No, yeah. I mean, it's just, it takes the fun out of it, and it's, it causes undue stress that you don't need, because you're just like, what's new? You're always looking for, like, what's coming out? What's happening? When, you know, you're waiting for it.
And brands are releasing stuff so much anymore. And I know they've always had big releases. I don't know if
it's nothing.
It's just, it's constantly, and it never, ever, ever ends. There's always something new out there.
Yeah, and you can't stay, like, MAC is the worst.
You can never get theirs. Theirs is always sold out the day, like, 2 minutes after it is released.
I used to love MAC, and I was like a MAC head. Like, I was the only thing I would use was MAC.
Yep.
And now they make me so mad.
Yeah.
They never have anything. It's sold out online, and my store never has it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, they did it for me. Like, I don't even have to worry about what they're coming out with, because I can't get it anyways.
Yeah.
And I'm not staying up to 3 o'clock in the morning to get a lipstick. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, because I stayed up until 3 o'clock in the morning. What was it that I was trying to get?
It was Mario Power.
Yeah. And now that is a product I will be talking about later today, because that really was one of my favorite products from last year. I love that palette so much. It is fantastic. Like, I think I don't even know if I can get another one. I should have, because I gave my other extra one away as a Christmas gift. It is the best palette that I had used in a long time. And I'll talk about that later. But I think for me, just in all areas of my life, I want to take a step back, because I'm tired of having so much stuff around me. It's getting to the point where it's like, I don't need all of this. And it's not me trying, you know, of course, Rob and I, like, we're trying. That's one of my other goals, is to cut back on spending, because I don't want to sound like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I need to be mindful of the amount of money I'm spending. I don't want to just go to Target and be like, oh, I just spent $150 on junk that I don't need. Because we all know when we go into Target, it's fair game. Like, you cannot, I cannot go to Target and not spend at least $35.
I swear that I have this conversation at least once a week with my husband, and I say, I cannot believe I spent that much at Target. Yeah. And he's like, he'll say, well, it is Target. And I'm like, it gets me every time. And expects it. He's just like,
yeah,
you bought 17 things from that dollar spot, didn't you? And I'm like, I did.
So that's, like, one of the things, like, where I'm talking about being mindful of the money I'm spending. Like, I'll go to Target. Oh, Starbucks is here. Okay. There's $6 for a coffee. Or, you know, something else.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm going to go to the dollar spot. Even though
I just had coffee, I have to buy
that. Yeah, like, even though I have all this coffee at home and coffee, I have an espresso, I have a Keurig, I have a Chemex. Like, I can have coffee at home, and that is one thing I'm working on. So I'll have my Starbucks, and then I'm like, oh, the dollar spot. Oh my gosh, I want this. It's only a dollar. Well, like you said, 17 things later. And then I'll go get groceries. Oh, there's a beauty section here. Oh, there's office stuff here. Oh, those new towels look really good. Oh, I need to get this. Oh, this movie looks good. Well, what about this book? And it's like, I'll walk out of Target and literally go, how did I just spend that much money? And those are the things I need to work on. Because I just said to like Rob yesterday, I don't need to go to Sephora for a very long time. Like, you gave me the gift card for Christmas. My mom gave me one. I'm saving it for a rainy day.
Because oh, that's good,
there's literally nothing that I need. There's nothing at all that I need. And I did, like, I told my husband, like, I need to try to work more on, like, staying out of the malls. In Atlanta, I mean, you saw where I live. It's everywhere.
It is
everywhere. Like, I mean, I have to take a step back and try to take myself out of those situations that are dangerous for me. It is really dangerous that Target is like 2 minutes from my house.
Yeah, that's not,
yeah, I mean, it's really dangerous. And the amount of malls and everything. So I'm trying to be like more mindful about what I'm spending my money on. Do I really need this? Do I really need another eyeshadow palette? I'm trying to be more aware of that kind of thing.
Yeah, especially with makeup, because it's like, you know, when you run out of laundry detergent, you know you need that. Right. But it's like, what are we actually really running out of that we need?
We're not running out. Maybe maybe mascara, and that's even pushing it.
Because you have to throw it away. Yeah,
I mean, but other than that, like, I was just looking, and I was really, like, taking notes mentally as I was, like, my father-in-law got me another Alex drawer. I posted this on Snapchat yesterday. He got me another Alex 9 drawer from IKEA. And I was like, gosh, you know, it's empty. No, by the time I got done organizing everything, that bad boy is already full. I'm like, that is 18 drawers full of just makeup. Yeah. That's not even skincare or my hair care yet. There's nothing else that I need. So I think that it's kind of, it's hard for us because that's our job. But we also, like, you have, sometimes you just have to take a step back because it's overwhelming.
Oh, it is. And I think, I don't know. It's just hard to, it's like, obviously it's not, like you said, there's bigger things to worry about and there's bigger problems. Yes. But when you find that you're buried alive under your makeup and, and you're not a wasteful person and you don't do that in any other aspect of your life, you feel like maybe, you know, like, I really want to focus on what I'm enjoying, what I love, and sharing that with people instead of what's the newest, what's the best.
I've honestly thought about not in doing like a survey, but just asking my readers, like, listen up. Do you guys really care, you know, if I don't review every single brand new thing that's out? And my guess is most of them are going to be like, of course not. You know, they can go and get that information if they need to. And I think that that's something we need to remember. I mean, of course, we want the traffic and everything, and we want our readers to be able to come to us. But I think that there is like a fine line there where when it gets to feel overwhelming for us and it's too much, that's when we know we have to take a step back.
Yeah, and I always try to be like, even on YouTube or on Instagram or Snapchat, I'm like, if you're interested in seeing a review on something, let me know, because then I can go out and justify, like, I'll go out and buy that palette because they want to know like my opinion on it. But if there's not like a lot of, if I don't really care and there's not a lot of people who are really interested, then I'm going to let it slide because normally I would be like, it's brand new. I have to have it. I've got to get it, you know, and I think it doesn't really matter.
I will let them know like when the release dates are. I'll always post an information to Facebook or like, you know, I'll talk about it. This is when it's available. Here are the new colors that are available. You know, if you need to pre-order, here's the information. Those are the steps that I'm going to take. You know, I'm going to let them know about new releases. Like I just saw yesterday, I was super excited. Target worked with the founder of Peach and Lily, who is a brand that I love. They're a Korean skincare like online store, and they also have a store within Macy's. They are really, she helped curate a line that Target will carry in some stores and online of nothing but Korean skincare products.
That's awesome.
So I've tried some of those products already that she handpicked, but I like, I let them know on my Facebook page, hey, Target's going to be doing this. This is when it's going to be released. Here you go. So I'm not, you know, freaking out about not getting every one of those products. You know what I mean when I say that though, just as an example. I gave them the information. It's there. If they have questions, they can, you know, let me know. And I'll answer those questions for them. Or if I haven't reviewed that, I'll think in my head, okay, out of all the beauty bloggers I'm in contact with and the things that I read, who has done a review on that? And I'll send them that way.
Yes, I've done that several times. I'm like, check out their blog. I trust them, their opinion. They had
That's
a great,
all about
like,
supporting.
They broke it all down. And
yeah. So I think that there are other ways, you know, to wrap this one up. There are other ways that we can still handle doing reviews and giving our readers the information without having to feel like we have to get every single product that's out there.
Yeah.
Now, there will be bloggers who get every single product sent to them for free. Every single one, every release.
Always, yeah.
You know, that's just going to happen. But for me, just me speaking personally, that's not happening for me yet.
No. For me neither.
Yeah. So yeah, I just have to take a step back from that. But I think in all areas, that whole minimalistic approach, it's something I'm really, really interested in this year.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So that was one of my other goals.
Yeah. We kind of touched on basically everything I wrote down. We've kind of touched on, but I'm just going to be more positive and stop with the comparison, and not just comparison of numbers, but comparison of like what everybody's reviewing and what everybody's doing or where they're going or, you know, who they're collaborating with. And I'm really just going to make 2017 just focus in on my brand, on what I like. And I've really just honestly, I've deleted all like the apps off my phone, and I only use Facebook for my blog. And I'm really just trying to not get so caught up in what everybody else is doing, because it's so easy because everybody shares everything.
Yeah.
So you have, instead of just hearing from a friend that this is what they're doing, which, you know, is normal, you hear from 100 people because they're all on every social media talking about what they're doing. And although I am happy for them, I can't help but think, well, why not me? Or...
Right.
Should, am I doing what I should be doing? Should I be doing something else, or should I not be blogging at all? Or so 2017, I'm going to be positive and stop with the comparison in all aspects of my life, but definitely with work, because, you know, if you had any other job, you wouldn't be going to work every day being like, oh, what are they doing? Or what are they doing? Like, you wouldn't even care. You would just be there doing your job and coming home. You know, you wouldn't be focused on what everybody else is doing. And you don't have 100 other people shoving it in your face.
What like we do is very unique. I mean, it's obviously out there so much more than it used to be, but it's still a little bit, it's still different. And I think just right along with you, my goals this year I have written down are to be open to change. Yes. I really want to not be afraid to step out of my comfort zone. I also have on there to be more present, and I'm doing exactly, I talked to you, like I got a new phone over the holidays and I put Facebook back on there, even though I said I wasn't, and I'm getting ready to do a blog post on this. I'm taking it back off. I realized like, over the holidays, my husband and I talked about this. We were sitting at dinner with his parents actually. And I know a lot of people say it's our generation, but let me tell you, they were on their phones throughout dinner, throughout every conversation and everything. And I sat there and I looked at them and I'm like, what is so important right now that we're not wanting to talk to the people who are right in front of us?
Oh no. Yeah. It's not just, it's not us. It's not millennials. It's not.
So I looked at them and I'm like, okay, first of all, how many people are they following on Facebook that they're needing to spend that time? But it made me kind of think, you know, I really need to be more present. I need to step away from the phone and pay more attention to the people that are in front of me. Now, obviously, you know, I need to text people like, you're not in front of me every single day, but I still want to communicate with you. But for dinner time and things like that, I can put my phone away. I don't need to talk to, you know, look on Instagram and Snapchat continuously. So I've made a decision to take Facebook off of my phone. I really struggle because I honestly wish I could almost do all social media, but like Instagram and that, like I have to have it on my phone because I can't, you know,
Every time you want to do a picture, you don't want to read down.
Yeah. So I'm really going to try to be more into, who's in front of me. I don't want to be constantly on my phone because I notice that I am a lot, and I don't mean it. I think where it's hard is that our job, unfortunately, involves a lot of social media. But I think that there are ways of handling the social media ahead of time. You can pre-schedule post, you know, all of that. I need to be better about that. Because watching my in-laws and how much they were on the phone and everything, it really kind of was like, oh, like, that's really bad. And I'm probably more than likely at times doing the same thing.
Well, one thing that with me and my husband is we notice when we go out places, like, we'll, you know, just go out on a little date night or whatever, and we'll notice that people never, they'll order their food and then they never speak to each other.
Yeah.
And like, that's one thing that we've just always done is we don't ever get on our phone, like, when we're together. Like, and, you know, when we're watching a movie or anything, like, we just turn our phones off and we just don't look at them. And something with him is he is not a social media person. He doesn't care about any of it. Mm-hmm. He has a Facebook, but, like, he's deleted it. Like, he doesn't have the app on his phone. And he maybe checks it, like, once a month. Like, he doesn't even care about it, right? So I'll say, oh, did you see, you know, so-and-so went on vacation? Or did you hear this? Or did you? And he's like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, would you rather me not just update you on everybody's business? Or, you know, because I'm, like, asking him all this stuff. And I'm like, realize his life is still going on and he's functioning perfectly fine without knowing all this like mundane stuff about people. And I'm like, it's what, like you get on, I would get on first thing in the morning and be like, oh, so-and-so is on a trip. Mm-hmm. Or so-and-so got a raise or so-and-so bought a new house. Mm-hmm. Or they got a new car or these bloggers are going on this trip and I'm not. And then I'm like, by 9:30, I'm already done for the day. I'm bummed out and I'm like, I'm done. I'm not even going to do
the blog. I feel like social media is so good in some ways, like, because I don't live near my family.
Yes.
But then in other ways, I feel like it's taken over our lives. People no longer communicate. Like, they don't call on the phone or anything. They go to Facebook. They're on Snapchat. They're on Instagram. And it's kind of taken that, like, one-on-one direct communication away from people. And I think the amount of times that we're constantly on our phones, it says a lot. And it can suck you down so quick. Like you just said, like, it's 9:30 and you're already, like, hating yourself. Like, well, why can't I go on that trip? Why didn't I get a raise? Why didn't I get that company to work for me? And they're really, you have to be careful with it.
Oh, you do, yeah. And it's like, especially when it's your job, but it's also social media. So it's like you fall down those rabbit holes because you're like, oh, I want to go on here and share my blog post and I want to talk to people about this product. And then you see all this other stuff and it's hard to separate the two.
Yeah.
So that's why on my personal Facebook page, I just cleaned it out and I told everybody this is just for business because if you want to be my friend, if you really are my friend and not just a Facebook friend, you have my number, you can call me, you know where I live, you can come visit anytime you want to, you know when I work. But if you're, you know, just on Facebook to post all your negativity, and I don't need to see that. So I cleansed it. I think I got rid of over 100
people. I told
you
I had a little unfollow party the other day. Yeah. Like, there are people that I'm following that I don't even know who they are.
I know. I found some people on there, and I'm like, I've been trolled for years, and I have no idea who these people are.
Yeah. Like, I have no idea who some of these people are. And then other people's, it was just like, I got tired of seeing them constantly just sucking the energy out of me every time I'd read their posts. Like, oh my gosh.
And it's not even like difference of opinions. It's like, you know, they're just, you go through their post and you're like, there's not one positive thing you've posted in the past 6 months. Yeah. I can't deal with this. Yeah. Like, you're just a sad, miserable person.
But no, I think that you have to be really careful of social media. And that's something that I really want to work on is just being more present with what's around me and just like, I don't want to be on my phone constantly. I want to go back to reading more. I want to go back to spending time with my husband and different things. I don't want to just sit on my phone all day. I love looking at Snapchat and Instagram. That will never go away. But I need to do less of it. And it's okay if I don't post on Instagram or something every single day. I just, for me personally, like, you know, you'll go on there and you'll read, like, this is what you have to do to be a successful blogger.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, my opinion is you need to do what you need to do. If you don't want to be sucked on your phone constantly, you know, updating and checking out everything all day long, don't do it. You don't have to do that. And you can still be successful.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you just have to find what works for you. And again, like we've said, you can schedule Facebook posts. You can schedule your blog posts. You can schedule, you know,
Instagram,
stuff to go on Twitter,
Pinterest. Everything.
But the more, of the problem for me was having the apps on my phone, like especially Facebook, is I would check to make sure that it posted, but then I would just start scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and reading everybody's stuff. And then it's like, I spent 30 minutes and, you know, but
it just sucks you
deleting in. Deleting the app. Yeah, deleting the app, because I probably since like 1st of January, since we deleted the apps off our phone, I have checked Facebook once a day, maybe twice a day.
That's good.
That's it. And it's not like hours at a time for those times. Like, I'll go post my blog post or my YouTube video, and now I'll go start posting the podcast. But I read a little bit, I just scroll a little, and then I just close it out because I'm like, it's the same stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just a new week. It's just like the same problems. And the people who are always going to have drama, it's just a new day for them. Like, it's just starting it all over.
I think where it gets complicated for me is, like, when we have, like, our Facebook groups and everything. I want to make sure that I'm there to, like, answer people's questions and I'm posting regularly on it. Those are the things that, you know, I'm trying to be better about and to be more consistent about. But also, I just don't want to be on my phone all day. Yeah. I kind of feel like I don't need to sit there and look at every single social media, you know, every moment of the day. If I take a break from it and I just go back to it at night for just a little bit, that's okay. I don't have to be available for everyone 24 hours a day.
No. And the stuff that people are going to ask you that may not be answered right away, you know, it's not life or death.
Right.
It's like, you know, should I pitch to this brand, or how should I word this, or how should I do that? It can wait, and it will be there. It will always be there.
Yeah. So I think that we're kind of like on the same page, like as far as our goals. I think a lot of people are on this page, actually.
I've heard it from a lot of people that they're just kind of done with it all, you know?
Yeah.
And especially after we've done it for so long, which most of the people that blog that we, you know, talk to or hang out with or whatever, they've been doing it for the same amount of time or pretty close to the same amount of time. And so we've all kind of started before it was a big thing, and now we're all feeling the same way about it. So at least I know I'm not crazy, because
no, you're not crazy. I think the only other thing I have on here is I talked about being open to change. And I think just what I mean for that is, like, I talked about, you know, not having to go and buy every single palette that's out there that's being released. I want to do more posts on my blog that aren't just beauty. I want to be okay with that, doing that more often. I don't want to have to, who did the other day? Daily Craving. She is a fashion blogger. If you're really into fashion, you need to make sure you check her out, because her post, she just has like that effortless style that I'm so jealous of. But she is the sweetest, sweetest girl ever. She posted a video the other day that she wants to start doing, more, YouTube videos. Her name is Lily, by the way. And she got on her YouTube video, and she had no makeup on. Her hair, like, wasn't, you know, done up and everything. And I want to be more like that. I want to be able to sit down in front of the camera, and if I'm just wearing my pajamas and I have no makeup on and my hair is out of place, I want to be okay with that, because I don't want to have to feel that constant pressure to look perfect. I'm never going to look like Jaclyn Hill. I'm never going to look like Candy Johnson. That's just not me. And I don't want to have to feel like I have to look like that in order to be on camera. And I really love that Lily, who is so into like fashion and everything. And, you know, when you're a fashion blogger, it's all about your appearance. Same for a beauty blogger. I want to feel comfortable enough to get on camera and not feel so made up. Like today, I'm literally sitting in a pair of yoga pants, a sweatshirt, and my hair is in a bun, and I look horrible. But if I wanted to get on and do a video like this just to talk to people, I want to feel comfortable with that.
I think it's the pressure of, because we are beauty bloggers and we do talk about all these products we're sent, we feel like if we have a blemish or if we have red skin or if we have frizzy hair, people will be like, I thought you had all these products. Why are you not perfect? Because I still have acne. I still have scars. My skin is not great. And I know that I rave about all these products that are amazing, but it's just life. I can't help that my skin looks this way. Like, I've always had acne. I will always have acne. It's not going anywhere. But there are products that help it go away faster, that make my skin look and feel better than it ever has.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we, like, the pressure is because you're going to get the trolls.
And obviously.
You just can't, you just can't worry about it. I got trolls on my video I posted yesterday, and all it was a makeup haul. And I'm like, but so I think that pressure on with our own pressure to ourselves that we have to be a certain way.
Yeah,
you know.
But I'm reading it's a not book. Real. No, and that's what I mean by like being open to change. You know, we talked about this in the podcast before. I'm a huge perfectionist. And I'm trying really hard to realize I don't have to be perfect at everything. But I'm reading a book and it's called You Are a Badass. And I had heard so many positive things about this book. And I started a book club on my blog because one thing I want to get back into doing more is reading. And I just wanted to incorporate it into the blog because I love going and seeing what other people are reading. And this was my first choice for the book club. And it is such a good book. I'm halfway through it probably now, but I've been highlighting so many things in this book because so many things are like speaking directly to my soul that I'm like, oh my gosh. But going along with this, you know, about worrying about everybody else and not thinking that you're good enough, I highlighted this paragraph and I'm going to read it. It's really quick. It says, instead, try seeing yourself through the eyes of someone who admires you. They get it. They believe in your leaps and bounds. They aren't connected to your insecurities and your negative beliefs about yourself. All they see is your true glory and your potential.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, you know what? Like, we talk about insecurities and everything and I'm like thinking we're not good enough and all of that. I want to be open to the change of not feeling so shitty about myself. Like, not like, well, why is this blog post not getting this many views? Why didn't I get that campaign? Like, am I not good enough? Gosh, should I even be blogging? I really want to be open to changing myself in the way I think about myself and my work. Because I know recently I posted in our Facebook group something about, like, photography or something. And someone said to me, well, I think your photos are amazing. I don't know what you're talking about. And when I read that paragraph of that book, I was like, you know what? That's a really strong set of sentences there because it's true. We're so hard on ourselves, but there's always going to be someone else out there who admires your work and yourself so much that we just don't see like our true potential.
Oh yeah. And I think I told you this, I think we've touched on it on a podcast, but like my husband said, because,
yeah,
you know, I go to him and I gripe and he gets the joy of that. But he said to me, he was like, do you know what you're saying? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you're from a small town in Tennessee and you work with huge brands that have, you know, sent you places for training, you know, that they send you the newest releases. Like, he's like, you understand that how many people would love that. Yes, and he's like, your blog is successful, and, you know, like, you've met so many amazing people, and he's like, you get to do this, and there are so many people who would die to get half of what you get, or to do half of what you do, and he's like, you're being too hard on yourself, because you're comparing yourself to people who live in L.A., who live in New York. He's like, you're in a small town in Tennessee, and you're doing this. He's like, if you could do it here, he's like, you should be proud of that and quit, you know, comparing yourself to people who are living in Los Angeles, California.
I think that 2017 needs to be the year that we really do realize our full potential. We're more positive about ourselves and our life. And we need to be more open to, I think, just that positive energy and everything and being open to change and being okay with change. We don't have to be like everybody else.
Oh, yeah, no. And that's my last one, which kind of goes into yours. We're so much alike, it's kind of scary. But, mine was being open to sharing more about myself.
Yeah.
And changing my blog, although it will always be 90% beauty, to share a little bit of my lifestyle. You know, like with my being a vegan and my lifestyle, share recipes and share, like, you know, I mean, since probably 1st of December, we've been doing smoothies and, you know, getting back into it before the new year. We were trying to anyways. And so we make some really good food and I'm like, I want to be able to share that. But I feel like because it's beauty that nobody wants to see that. But I'm like, it's my blog. If that's what
you're
I want to do.
You're in charge of it.
Yeah. And then I get asked a lot about my dogs because I talk about them all the time, you know? And so I work with like Chewy.com and I work with, there's another subscription box that I just talked to that we're going to start working together. And I'm like, I need to start, you know, sharing that on, instead of just on social media, share it on my blog. And, you know, they'll never sit still for a photo, but I can share their products and stuff. And I'm like, even if it's just on weekends and just do a little lifestyle here and there, like, that's fun for me because it's fun for me to talk about the silly stuff that they do or whatever, you know, and be open to that and be open to sharing more about myself instead of just being like a makeup robot and that's all I ever talk about.
And that's something that I did last year, is I really allowed myself to go more, and I haven't gotten fully there yet, but I'm working on it. I don't have to just talk about beauty. I'm in control of my website. It's my website for a reason. I'm in control of it. And I've talked about this before. Some of my most successful posts who have gotten the most views and comments are when I'm really personal and I share different things other than beauty. And I think, you know, even for me personally, like, there's nothing more that I love when someone opens up and they're honest. I'm not getting, like, you know, the made-up version of Jaclyn Hill. I'm getting her when she's crying tears because of the anxiety attacks and things like that. Because I can relate to that so much. And I think that, you know, if you're a blogger and you're really struggling with this, it's okay to venture out. You don't have to stick to one niche. You don't have to. You can write about whatever you want. And if you have really loyal readers, they will stick with you no matter what. There's this one girl, her name is Brandy. I have no idea if she listens to this podcast or not. She has been with me from day one, and she still is with me. And there's always going to be new people that you can attract. You know, don't be afraid to venture out and to do different things. Like, I would love to see more of your vegan recipes and things like that. That's something that would really interest me. I don't think that people should be scared to try new things.
Oh, yeah, no, and I should have really jumped on it whenever, for January 1st, and really got into it then, but I'm like, it's not, for me, it's not a...
It's not a new
diet.
No, it's a lifestyle.
It's my lifestyle, and, you know, like, I see all these, every year there's the new diet, or the new trend, or the new fad that people are on, and I'm like, if you just ate fruits and vegetables instead of eating stuff that you know you shouldn't be eating, like, we're not stupid. Yeah. Even the dumbest person knows that they shouldn't be eating bologna. Like, they know, you know, it's like, you know what to do, and so it's like, I want to share that, but I'm like, maybe I'll wait for a little while for this all to blow over so it doesn't fall into that, oh, she's just doing this for New Year's.
No, this is your life. I know that for, like, this is, I've been with you. Like, this is your way of living. This is not a diet. Like, this is a lifestyle.
And I'm also trying to incorporate that, or, like, to share more with the lifestyle, because I do use natural, you know, like, cleaning products and a lot of natural, like, my husband uses, like, Dr. Bronner's for everything, you know? So it's like, the only reason he has anything that's not Dr. Bronner's is because it was sent to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, Axe Body or whatever, the sister company, the owner of that company, sent me a huge box. It was all men's stuff, like 50 things. He will have that until he dies because I was like, have you tried that out yet? And he's like, no, I haven't used it I haven't used the one that I opened until it was completely gone. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, what language do you speak?
We aren't understanding that language.
I want to start sharing more. Like, I could review every scent of Dr. Bronner's because he just goes through it. Entire bottles of tea tree, eucalyptus, like, that's all he'll use. And that's what we wash our dogs in. And that's what we use for everything. But so I want to incorporate that onto my blog because I feel like, you know, a healthy mind and body also comes out on your skin and the way you look and the way you feel. And
I totally think that we should do a podcast about this.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that you're really knowledgeable about it. And I really try. I'm not like you are by any means. I won't even say that I am, but I try really hard about, you know, cleaning products and different things and what I'm putting in my body. There are times when I fall off that wagon, but I think just when you do, you feel so much better.
Oh, definitely.
You really feel better.
You do. And my thing now, I mean, we've done it for a while, but we've gotten like four, maybe three new ones are like the diffusers for essential oils and stuff. So we've been doing that a lot more because we had one that we would use every once in a while. And like, we could just tell a huge difference having it in every room of the house going all the time.
I have one in my office and I have one in my bedroom. I don't have one for my living room or anything. And the only reason is because I have such high ceilings. I've never found one that actually makes a difference. I can't, because the ceilings are so high. I just don't smell any, like, I don't. So I have them upstairs in my office and I have it upstairs in my bedroom, but I would like to get more in different areas of the house.
Yeah. And we, like, the bedroom is usually 90% only like sleep or lavender or something. But the ones we have downstairs and the one we have in the hall, like upstairs, they're all like going all day long, and they're like the happy or the relaxing or whatever. They're not the sleepy one because I don't need help with that. I can take a nap all day, but that's something that's really, you know, like seems to work without those candles are so awful. Yeah. And I have so many of them that I feel bad that I've bought so many that I'm not even using.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be careful of those. But I think that what we have found is a goal, for our goals is that we're kind of taking a step back and we're looking more into ourselves and what we are feeling. We're trying to be more focused on us and what we want.
Yes.
And we're making changes to make sure that that happens. And we're not beating ourselves up if we're not like everybody else.
Yeah, and in turn, I think if we're happy and doing what we love, then our readers will feel that as well, you know.
Because I think our readers are probably going through the same thing also.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I talk to people. Some aspect of their life.
Yeah, they might not be like as obsessed with beauty that we are. Some might be. I know some that are. But just, I think, overall, just feeling better about yourself and your life and not getting so caught up in, like, life is stressful. I don't know if it's just because we're so much aware of it and more now because of all the, you know, social media and everything. But there is a lot of bad things happening out there anymore. I mean, 2016 was not a great year for our country. Let's be honest.
No,
Not even getting into specifics, but, you know, there's just bad crap that happens every single day. And I just want to become a better person. I need to make that lifestyle change. I don't want to be focused on all the negativity. I really want to focus on more positive things in my life, spending time with people that I love, and not being around people who are just, I call them vampires, because they just suck the life out of you. You know, I want people around me who are supportive, who love me unconditionally no matter what, who don't care if I don't have on makeup and my hair is not perfect, that will go to Target with me in my yoga pants looking a hot mess. Like, those are the people I want in my tribe. And 2016 was a year that I really made some major changes in my life. And it was very difficult at first, but I'm so much happier. And I just feel like if I continue on this path, I'm going to be such a better person.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't think that's the thing is with what we're doing, there's nothing bad. Like the outcome, whether it's what we want it to be or not, it will not be a bad outcome. Like we're doing positive things and we're doing what we want and we're only going to end up in a better place. Yeah. Whether it's the place that we had planned or the place that we end up, nothing bad can come from it. We're not putting all of our money on the line. You know, we're doing good stuff and we're putting the positive energy out there. And I think in turn, you know, we will only see good benefits from that.
So in the podcast, you might notice us from time to time. We might, you know, steer off of the beauty path and maybe even the blogging path. Like we might bring up some different things that we're working on. I think this year is going to be a little bit different.
Oh yeah.
So since we've been talking now for almost an hour,
that's the way it goes.
Excuse me. Let's go ahead and talk about our top beauty products for 2016.
Alrighty. Well, now, some of this is stuff that is 2016 products, but I'm only recently obsessed with it. And you already know what my first one is.
What is it?
The Huda Beauty Palette.
Okay, so I'm really curious about this palette because I have seen so many mixed reviews on this palette. If you guys don't know what this palette is, it's probably, I think, when did it come? Was it around the holidays or was it before that?
When it came out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was before that.
Because it was sold out for a while.
Yeah, it came out, like, I think in summertime, and then it sold out, and then it came back, and it sold out, maybe this fall, but, yeah, it was out for a while, and then, I mean, it was sold out for months, and then it came back again.
Maybe it was, like, around the holidays, I started seeing a lot more people talk about it again, because there must have been...
It came back in stock, yeah.
All right, so I've heard so many mixed reviews about this, so I want to hear, like, your quick take on it.
Well, the thing is like you said, I saw people who were just tearing it apart. Yeah. They're bashing it.
Especially,
and I was like,
the glitter color. Are there glitter colors in this palette?
It's the textured glitter.
Okay, yes.
So, I thought I have to try it for myself because I want the glitter. I want the textured shadows. I love sparkle. And, you know, so I was like, I need to have it for that. But then I saw so many negative reviews and I'm like, how can something so beautiful be that terrible?
Right.
And so I waited on it. I let, you know, when it came through, I didn't even think about it. And then when it came back, I was like, which wasn't until like last week, I was like, okay, I have to get it. So it's beautiful. And I don't understand what anybody's talking about because I posted on Instagram and I have a YouTube video going up tomorrow showing swatches. No primer, nothing. And it's the most beautiful textured, like glittery, like shimmery shadows that I've ever seen. Like, I don't understand the hate. I don't get it. I don't know where it's coming from unless it's just people who feel guilty for spending $65.
Yeah.
Because I have shadows and palettes that I've bought for, you know, because they're so sparkly and then there's no payoff. Like, yeah. I understand. But if you have really long nails, maybe because people have to use their finger, they don't like that because their finger don't really fit in there. But I have natural nails. I don't have long nails. Right. My fingers are fine. I don't know if maybe that's the problem, but because it does work with a brush, but it's not as
it's better with your. And that's the thing, like, we can talk about this. There's always going to be someone that has a bad review on something that you might love. And it could be, you know, everybody has a different opinion. But sometimes what I find is people don't know how to use products correctly.
Yes. And I think, you know, like, there's a lot of concealers that you have to do it with. The warmth of your fingertips perhaps makes the textured shadows go on better. Maybe that's what it is because people are like, oh, with the brush, it doesn't go, and they do, it does go on with the brush. It just doesn't blend as smooth with the brush. And like I said, it maybe if you have the long nails, that's too much of a hassle, right. Or if you're a germaphobe and you don't want to use your finger, but the actual product itself is amazing. Like other than that's my only thing that I can imagine because I have oily lids and I wore it all day without a base, without any kind of primer, and it didn't go anywhere.
Wow.
And the other shadows, like, I didn't even swatch those because I was like, it's all, the debate's always been about the textured shadows. Mm-hmm. So when I used the other shadows to create my look, they're beautiful. Like, Anastasia palette, but without the powder. Like, they're just really good quality palette. So now that I see that she has a highlighter palette coming out, I'm like, I'm not spending money. I don't need it. But then I'm like, but if it's as amazing as this.
Yeah.
Maybe I do need the palette.
Yeah. No, I was really curious when I saw. First of all, the palette was way bigger than I thought it would be. Like, when you held it up in your picture yesterday, I was like, that thing looks huge.
It is. It's really big. Yeah. And there are good size shadows, but the pigmentation is there. Just know, if you have the long nails and you have a trouble getting your finger in there, maybe you should skip.
Yeah.
That's my only.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a palette, like, I'm more of a neutral girl. This is where we're very different. You're more, like, I do like colors and everything, but I will forever be a diehard neutral fan. You, on the other hand, rock those colors. It's not probably a palette I would go for. I would just be more curious, if anything. So I'm going to live through you with that palette. But it is, it's beautiful. It is a beautiful palette. Beautiful.
Yeah. It is. I love that it has, like, the matte brown, the matte taupe, the matte black, the matte. Kind of like the Anastasia palette, but it's got, like, all the mattes, but then those textures just take it to the next level. Mm. Like, you just went from, like, oh, that's pretty, to wow, that's gorgeous, you know?
Yeah. So, one that I have written down, I just talked about this before. For me, it was a year of me finally using the Anastasia Beverly Hills palette. And the one, now Rob got me the Modern Renaissance, which is very different for me. That is not typically colors I would go towards, but it's beautiful and I love it. But the one that I really, really fell in love with was the Master Palette by Mario. That palette is so up my alley. It is beautifully pigmented. The colors are these warm, jeweled tones. They are, I mean, I use this palette almost every single day. I absolutely love it. The bad thing is I'm talking about this. I'm pretty sure it's sold out everywhere.
Yeah. I think it was taken off Sephora's website.
Yeah, I think so. Macy's doesn't have it anymore. I really wish that they would make this permanent because I just absolutely love this palette so much. the quality of the shadows, the way they go on my skin. They blend perfectly. They're hugely pigmented. I absolutely love this. I saw a lot of people who were very underwhelmed with this palette, and I'm just like, how? I'm like, how? I don't understand it. So I know, obviously, if you're listening to this and you don't have it and you want it, it sucks because I really wish everyone could get this palette. It's beautiful.
Yeah, you're the reason that I bought it. Like, you hopped me up and I was like, I gotta get it.
I really, really, I mean, Mario just did such an amazing job with this palette. It is absolutely beautiful. It was my favorite eyeshadow palette from the year.
Oh, wow, yeah. No, it's a good palette. I like it. Yeah. Again, I just have so many palettes.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was my favorite eyeshadow palette from 2016. Without a doubt.
This is not a palette, but it is something. I don't know if you already tried it because you love hair stuff, but my friend Amber told me about it. And so when I saw it, I had to buy it. And it's the Living Proof Dry Volume, Full Dry Volume Blast or something.
I am the only person who did not like that product.
Oh, no.
I don't know why, because I will be honest, though. I have really sensitive scalp, and sometimes Living Proof products just, for some reason, irritate my scalp a lot. I don't know why. It's just something.
Maybe the fragrance.
It could be. There's something in there sometimes that just does not do well with my scalp. I know so many people who absolutely love that product, and I used it, and it could give me, like, the biggest volume of my hair ever. But for some reason, my scalp just did not like it.
Yeah, it must be the fragrance because that's the one thing that I noticed about it. I'm like, if you don't like fragrance, you are not going to like this product.
It's very strong in fragrance.
It's very strong, but it makes my hair, like, even the second day, like, going into the third day, if I had to go somewhere, my hair is still, like, it looks like, you know, my hair is thinned out because I've bleached it so much and, like, you know, I murdered it, basically. And so, like, it has thinned out so much. And so there's, like, little baby hairs coming back in. But, like, this gives it volume. I don't have to tease it. I don't have to do anything. I love it. But, yeah, the scent is overwhelming for sure.
That product, though, will give you, like, humongous amounts of volume in your hair. I will definitely say that. It works. Like, if you need a product for volume or for texturizing or anything, it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I'm back in being a pageant girl. Cause,
yes.
You know, like, back in that day, I had to use Aquanet and tease my hair, but now I can get that look with it.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I wish I didn't, for some reason, I don't know, my scalp just does not like some of their products. I don't know why, but I did use it, and it definitely does give you humongous hair.
Yeah, for sure.
My next one for 2016 was the year of essences for me. The year I fell in love with an essence, finally. If you're not familiar with an essence, it is a skincare product. It's hugely popular in Korean skincare. And basically, it's just another step that you will use to ensure hydration to the skin. Some of them, they have different ingredients, each one. The one that I had really been loving is the Iris Extract Activating Treatment Essence from Kiehl's. The one before that I was really, really loving, Jurlique makes a fantastic one, and the Makeup Raw Sauce.
I like that one.
Yeah. But when I use an essence on my skin, I notice a huge difference in the amount of redness on my skin and how less irritated my skin becomes. When I don't use them, I notice my skin flares up again. So for me, they're very hydrating. Some of them have anti-inflammatory ingredients in them. They have antioxidants that are great for the skin. They just kind of prep your skin and get it ready for serums and the next steps of your routine. It was a year that I found the essence in my life, and it changed my skincare game completely.
Yeah, the Makeup one is probably, I got that from Peach and Lily, and I loved it,
It's really good. And I noticed my skin seems so much brighter and more radiant when I use an essence. I think if it's something you're not using and you want to kind of amp up your skincare routine, adding an essence into it is something that really can make a difference.
Yeah, because I was like, what could it really do? But when I don't use it, I can see a difference.
Yeah, they really are fantastic.
Yeah. I agree on that one. I didn't have an essence written down, but I can vouch for that.
That's
but for skincare, I have sheet mask.
I have sheet mask also. That's my next one.
And,
yeah, sheet masks were amazing. Like, I feel like, and Peach and Lily came out with their own collection last year. Goodness. And they're really inexpensive. I think there were three of them and they were like $15, or you can buy them individually. I have tried a lot of sheet masks last year. And I think that the one that they came out with that Alicia developed, they sit on your skin. They don't fall off. They feel thicker to me. I love those sheet masks so much.
Yeah. And it's like, the lazy person in me loves them because you can just take them off, rub it in your skin and just toss it.
Yeah.
Like, so that's how my love originated, was because I'm like, man, I am lazy. I don't want to get up and wash this off. And then I'm like, oh, well, a sheet mask, you don't have to.
You don't have
to. But I started realizing that my skin in the morning when I woke up, I was like, man, my skin looks glowy. Yeah. Or, oh, it feels so soft. Or my eyes aren't puffy. Or whatever it was.
Sheet masks are a little bit different than regular masks because they're filled basically with like vitamins, minerals. They won't dry out your skin. And there's more concentrated amounts of ingredients in them. They work so well on the skin.
Yes. And the one that I bought and then I have repurchased because I loved it so much, but I was like, I don't want to be misleading in case I was using something else. And so I bought more and I love it. It's the Sephora brand. It's for brightening and it's like in a little pink.
I have that one. Yes. Package. It's really good.
Oh my gosh. My skin feels.
Yeah.
I think it's like, what, they're like $6, five bucks,
six
bucks.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And so I bought it like around Christmas, right after Christmas, and used it. And I was like, the next day, I was like, man, my skin feels so good. Yeah. Like, it looked glowy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to buy some. When I got the Huda, I got some more. And I've already used them. Like, ridiculous. And I'm like, my skin feels so soft. Like, the next day, and it looks like it's doing something because my skin just looks so much better. So I'm like, now I know I'm going to be, when next time I go to Sephora or place an order, I'm going to be buying those because they work and they're $6.
Really,
I mean,
good.
I've spent $25 on them once that didn't work. So
I think I have also, in my Sephora bag for my birthday that I haven't gotten out yet. I got some of their under eye patches that are in the pink one.
Oh yeah.
I gifted some of those like sheet mask and everything this year. But the Sephora one is really good. The thing with the sheet mask is it's basically soaked with a high concentrated serum. And that could have, like, hyaluronic acid in it. They can have vitamins. But there's something about the way the sheet mask, and they call it, like, the water phase or something. It basically penetrates deeper into the skin than a traditional mask will.
Yeah, and I leave mine on. I mean, I know, like, they say, leave it on for 15, 20 minutes. And I'm like, I'll just leave it on while I read my book at night or whatever. And, like, that might be 30 minutes. But I just leave it on and then I take it. And I'm sure to not waste any of the extra stuff that's left over.
Rub that all over your hands, your face. Yeah. Like, rub that all over.
Yeah, because no matter what it's for, it's not going to hurt to rub it in on your hands or whatever and to continue to, like, I just pat it. Anything that's on my face, I just pat it and leave it. And, like, just kind of leave it and let it sit. But there's so many, the new Yes to, I think it's Primrose.
I have not tried that one yet.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there's a new, I think it's Yes to Primrose, and then they have Yes to Argan Oil sheet mask, and the new Activated Charcoal sheet mask works so good. Like, they're amazing. Yeah.
I think, like, sheet masks are still going to be really popular this year.
Oh, I think they're just going to get, like, there's charcoal every brand's going to.
I think charcoal is going to be another really, really popular product launch.
I think with most women, certain time of the month, they already know that it's coming. They know their skin's going to be awful. So what I've been doing with those charcoal masks is, like, right around that time, you start to feel like, oh, crap, I can feel it happening. So I just wear the mask a couple times during the week or whatever, and I've really seen a difference. And those Yes to Charcoal ones are like $3.
Yeah.
So you can get them at Ulta and use your coupons and stuff. So
I think that Bosha also makes one. And
oh, my gosh, yes.
Dr. Jart, I'm thinking, and maybe even from Peach and Lily, I hope I'm pronouncing correct, Kremer Lab. For some reason, I think that they have one that's, I could be wrong, but that's sticking out in my head.
Boshia makes a couple of different ones, and I've loved all of those. Yeah, yes.
They're really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, sheet mask was my next one, so I don't need to talk about that. Sheet masks, though, they're so good. You can use them several times during the week. You can customize them based on what your skin is doing. They're inexpensive, and if you haven't used them, really give them a chance. They're really, really worthwhile. You kind of look a little weird with them on, but
you'll scare your husband if you don't.
Yeah.
Excuse me. If you don't let him know that you're putting it on when he walks into the room, he may run out. Yeah.
But they're really beneficial for the skin. My next product that I have probably will surprise a lot of people, but I was really late into the game. We talked about this, I think, on another podcast. Was the Estee Lauder Double Wear Foundation. I really loved it. I heard so many things about it. I just never tried it. I will say that they did not color match me correctly, so I have to add in tinted drops to kind of lighten it up a little bit. But this foundation, they call it the Stay in Place Makeup. It doesn't move. It can be, they have different ones out now. I just have the one that's in the OG one in the glass bottle, but they make one now that's like a cushion. Like, there's different types that are out there. If you are someone who wants a full coverage foundation, it gives a really, really nice look to the skin. This foundation impressed me so much. I don't know why I didn't try it before.
Yeah. My problem was finding a color that was right for me, because I did get matched to the wrong color, and then I got matched to a different color, and I had gotten a sample of a different color to mix with one of the colors, and I just could not find one that I was too yellow or too pink. Yeah.
I feel like the lady who did mine, I think we talked about this before, she was trying to do it on my hand to match my color. But she put me in the shade 2C3, which is the Fresco. I think the one down from that. This one's a little bit too warm. So I have the drops. It's fine. I can make it work for me. But I like it so much, I want to try the concealer in it. And I also want to try the cushion one that they came out with. If you want, like, you know, just a plain Jane medium to full coverage foundation, I think that it's at a really good price point and it really, really works. I think this would also be really good for people, who have a little bit more mature skin. I think it's really good foundation.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, I think my mom would probably absolutely love this foundation.
No, it's definitely really good. And I had no problems with it hiding everything that.
Yeah, it works really, really good. My other one that I considered was the Charlotte Tilbury Magic Foundation.
Oh, I haven't tried that one.
It's really good. That one, it's funny. It's a little bit too light for me. But I'm like a weird color. I'm very, very fair. But sometimes I have a really hard time with the undertones of the product matching my skin tone correctly.
Oh, yeah. Even like, I can buy several different shades. Like, I can buy two shades, and I have mixers that are lighters and darkenings, and I cannot get, for the life of me, a perfect shade in some foundations. I just can't.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely. Because, yeah, me too.
I have redness, you know, and I have dark under eyes, I have redness, stuff I need to cover, and it's like I'm color correcting 16 different things. And
But no, the Double Wear was my favorite, and then the Charlotte Tilbury. It's a little bit pricier, I believe. It does. It just gives a really good, both of them. They give a fantastic look to the skin.
My foundation is, because my skin is combination dry now instead of combination oily, is the Makeup Forever Stick Foundation.
I have not tried that.
And Jaclyn Hill, like, went on and on and on about it. You know, she got sent every color and all that. And I was oily. And I was like, well, I'm not going to buy it because I know I'm oily. It'll never work. Well, then Influencer sent it to me.
Awesome.
And I used it. And I was like, it's beautiful. It has a beautiful finish. But when I was oily during the summer when I got it, no way, Jose. Yeah. But now I'm just oily my T-zone and I'm drier because of the cold wind and stuff. It's beautiful. Like,
which is funny because normally I know there's a problem with oily skin types. But when I have dry patches on my skin, I normally can't use a stick foundation.
It's so creamy. Like, it just, like, it doesn't stick to my patches. Uh-huh. It doesn't stick to my breakouts. Like, I have to, you know, I used Pure Tea Tree Oil on my breakout, so it dries my skin up. And I can't use any other foundation directly over it without having to do, like, you know, sheet mask and all that. But, like, I can just get up and put that on, buff it in. It covers my pores. It covers my redness. And it doesn't cling to my dry spots. Mm-hmm. But it also, I can set it in my T-zone, and then I'm not oily. Because it's trying to set your whole face when a foundation's going to make you oily, it just, you look ridiculous. But
yeah.
When you know that the cream is going to just break apart and all that, it's not even worth it. Right. But no, the stick, if you have dry or combo skin prone to dryness, the Make It Forever stick foundation is worth the $40.
Oh, well, that's good to know, because I tried the Anastasia, and I know you said that you didn't like that one. It worked great for me. It's not something I reach for all the time, but maybe I'll try the Make It Forever when I need a foundation. Right now, I don't need one.
Yeah, right.
But, that is good to know though. My last product is actually two. It's my favorite lip combo for the year. This might even be from 2015. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I'm obsessed with the Charlotte Tilbury lipsticks. They're creamy. They don't dry my lips out. The colors are beautiful. They're very pigmented, and they just wear really nicely. The combination that I love is so basic that it's not funny, but it just works perfectly for my skin tone. It's the Bitch Perfect lipstick. It is not only the best name ever, but it's the perfect, like, rosy, peachy nude color for me. It's such a beautiful color on so many skin types, and the packaging is rose gold. It's absolutely beautiful. Like, her packaging is flawless. It's just beautiful. And I use that with the Pillow Talk lip liner. And her lip liner is so creamy, I can use it as a lipstick easily. Like, this color is, like, the perfect lipstick for me. But it is a really, really good lip liner. It's called Pillow Talk. It is a great nudish type color. And it's just my absolute favorite lip that I can just throw on, and I don't even have to, like, worry about it. It lasts a really long time, and it's super creamy, doesn't dry my lips out. Her lip products just impress me so much. I mean, if I'm being honest, her entire makeup collection impresses me. But her lip products are so good.
Yeah, there's a few of hers that I want that are on my, like, list, but I'm like, whenever I decide I need to buy something again, I'll try them out. But yeah,
they're so, I know someone asked me the other day, if I thought her lipsticks were worth the money, and hell yes, they're so good. They're my absolute favorite lip product.
Yeah. No, I've heard nothing but good stuff about all her stuff. So
yeah. So that was what I had for my, do you have another one or?
I have one more. Okay. And everybody, anybody who reads my blog or watches my YouTube is going to be like, shut up already about this product. And it is the Marc Jacobs Coconut Primer.
Okay.
It is.
I have not tried that. Is it comparable to the Too Faced Hangover Primer?
Okay. So I only have two of the little 100-point perk samples of it. And I've used one completely. Mm-hmm. I like the Too Faced one. I just don't feel, and maybe it's just because I'm so in love with the Marc Jacobs one, I just don't feel that it's as moisturizing.
Okay,
and I know they're both coconut.
I got the Too Faced because I wanted something that would put more moisture back into my skin. And I like it so far, but I'm wondering if I shouldn't have spent the extra money to go to the Marc Jacobs one instead.
Because I think it's, what, like $8 more or
something? I don't think it's that, like, much more.
Yeah.
Because I like it, but I've heard you talk about this coconut primer for so long that I'm like, I maybe should have gotten that one.
And let me preface this by saying, I bought it myself. I have used one up entirely that I'm scooping out, and I've repurchased it.
And when a beauty blogger, when they tell me they've used a product entirely and they repurchased it, that is the feedback I'm looking for, because I know how many other products you have.
Yeah, and I mean, like, primers alone, you know that I probably have 30 mm-hmm. from between drugstore and high-end, but I showed in a recent video, and there's a blog post coming up that I show, and I break it all down and stuff, but it is so good, and when my skin is oily, it gives me enough moisture without making me greasy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't break my, I'm sensitive, and I'm acne-prone, and it doesn't cause any problems with any of that.
Is it a heavy primer, or is it more of a gel consistency, like a water gel?
It's more watery, okay. Yeah, but, like, I just pump it out on the back of my hand, use a little buffing brush, and just buff it into my skin, and it works all year round for me. Like, I mean, obviously, since I've used it up completely, but even right now that I'm dry, if I have extra dry patches, I'll use like an oil at night. Mm-hmm. But for my makeup, that's the only thing that I'll use. Like that coconut primer. I don't have to moisturize. I don't do all that. And I love it. Like, it was $44 and I've bought it twice. So I will buy it again.
It's not much more than that because that's actually in a glass container, right?
It's in a glass container with a pump. Yeah.
I like the Too Faced. Like, I'm actually looking at it right now. I have my, what I got for Christmas video still to do. Because I was sick, I had no voice. I couldn't film anything. And that's a goal of mine this year. Even though I basically have dial-up internet, it seems, anymore. I'm going to try AOL. Really hard. It's horrible. I don't want to talk about that now. But I still have all of my Christmas stuff. Like, I haven't really used it that much because I want to film it and everything. And I have used that primer, though, the Too Faced, the Hangover. I like it. I wanted a primer that was hydrating my skin, because my skin is more dry right now, but I was just wondering if maybe I shouldn't have gone to the Marc Jacobs, because that is one I have not tried.
Can you take it and exchange it for the Marc Jacobs? Yeah,
probably so.
Yeah. We might do that. I just find, like, the Too Faced was fine, and maybe in the summertime it'll work a lot better for me, but just something about the Marc Jacobs, it just works every time. Like, it's like the Makeup Forever foundation. Like, right now, it works perfect for me.
Yeah.
So, it's like, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry about, you know, how my skin looks. I know it's working. Yeah. And I have large pores. Like I said, I have a lot of, I don't have perfect skin. And I don't find that it accentuates anything or makes anything worse. And it works really nice. I like it a lot. So, I don't know what if there's magical unicorns in it, but I like it.
So I'm going to end this podcast because we've been talking for almost an hour and a half. I have one question, though, that we both can answer. What is one product right now that you're really, really interested in that you might splurge on and get? And I know we talked about we're not going to do a lot, but let's be honest. There's always going to be a product we have on our wish list. What is one product on your wish list right now?
Even though I don't even know what it is the Huda highlighter palette.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Benefit blush that you're wanting, the California. Gosh, yeah, I want so that beautiful. One. But again, there's something that probably right now on Instagram I haven't seen yet, and I need it, so.
For me, and I'm trying to look on here really quickly, the name, it was just released today. We all know that I'm obsessed with skincare. It's the Glossier. They just came out with a priming moisturizer. It's a really thick, rich moisturizer. I'm really, really curious about this. I've heard a lot of really good reviews from people who got to try it before it came out. It's supposed to be not greasy. It contains shea butter and I can never pronounce this, Miru Miru butters. It's just supposed to basically like melt into the skin and it's supposed to be fantastic for dry skin types. And it's only $35.
I would say Glossier, so it's really affordable.
Yeah. And I, you know, it's a brand I've never tried.
I don't have, I don't think I have any other stuff, but I see it in everybody's videos.
Everybody's most obsessed with the eyebrows, the serums. Most
of them were sent, the serums, they got all sent that, but everybody seems to love it, so.
But I'm really curious about this one because it's for intensing hydration, reducing redness, it's supposed to be very nourishing, and it's oxygenating. So, there's just, looking at the ingredients that are in it, it just seems like a very calming, like super moisturizing moisturizer that I really, really, I think that I might get it because my skin right now, because I think I've been sick and I've been on medicine and we've had to turn our heat on because Atlanta got blasted with cold weather, which we are not used to. it was 13 degrees the other day, might I add. My skin is going crazy. And I don't really keep like a lot of super heavy moisturizers around because I normally generally don't need it. But that can actually say that's probably something I do need to get because I just don't have it right now.
Yeah, I mean, and again, skincare is different.
Yes.
Because our skin always, like mine, doesn't know what it wants to do. Yeah. Like, it's always changing. So I'm always digging out stuff. I'm like, well, that was last month, but I need it again. So.
But yeah, I think that I'm going to actually order that. That would be a brand that I explore a little bit more this year. I know we talked about this I have with you is I ordered a serum from The Ordinary. And if you're not familiar with it, it is super inexpensive, like under $10 for a serum. And I've been using it. And actually, I was telling myself last night, I think that there's another one I should have gotten. And I think I'm going to send this one to you that I got because I think it would work better for your skin type than mine. But they have one that I want to get. It's a retinol. I'm going to have to do some changes with my skincare right now because my skin is not normally like this. It's not normally dry and everything, but right now it is like, give me all the hydration you can.
Oh yeah. No, that's what, yeah. Mine's normally oily and I don't even, I mean, I'm moisturized, but I don't have to worry about it. But now I'm just like, everything is thickening and everything is peeling. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
So, well, this was our first podcast for 2017 and we went almost an hour and a half.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
But we will definitely be back. We're going to be doing this. We're going to be posting, we hope, weekly. And I'm hoping to get the podcast up every Wednesday or Thursday. I'm aiming for Wednesday. But with my dial-up internet, you never know. Yeah.
I was going to say, whatever you can do with your AOL.
Oh, my gosh. So the story behind that really quickly is we switched to AT&T. And it was supposed to be much faster for our neighborhood. Like, it's fiber or whatever. I don't know any of this stuff. It is the worst internet ever. It takes me to upload a 2 or 3 minute YouTube video overnight and then some. And sometimes it just times out. So if I don't post when I'm supposed to, like on a Wednesday, it will hopefully be up by at least Thursday. So moral of the story is, for me, don't get AT&T internet. Or you'll be back to dial up using AOL.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and end this one. Thank you guys so much for listening. And again, if you have anything you want us to talk about, if you have any suggestions or questions, definitely get a hold of us. We have a Facebook page, 2 Bloggers, 1 Podcast. You can reach us on there.
Oh, thanks for listening.
All right. Well, we will talk to you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys for listening to 2 Bloggers, 1 Podcast, Episode 6. For more information, follow us on our Facebook page, 2 Bloggers, 1 Podcast. Thanks again for all your support and for always listening. We'll see you next time.